You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
In the studio now, we've got Mr. James Milne, a.k.a. Lawrence Arabia, coming to Corridor about his show at Pearl Diver, which is happening later this evening at 9 p.m. Bit of a late show for you, James.
It is.
Do you like the late shows?
I wouldn't choose a late show, no.
The late show chose you?
The late show chose me, yeah.
Interesting. Do you have any plans to do before to hang out in Dunedin before then?
Yeah, just I was thinking about. I actually got quite excited about nature tourism.
This is the wildlife capital of New Zealand.
Yeah, and I don't know. I might have been a bit more like I want to go and get a drink or something. But being in my 40s now, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll go for a little hike or something.
Try and see
some bird life.
Yeah, well, if you want to go a little bit out of the way, Orokonui Eco Sanctuary, yes. Pretty legendary spot. Just like maybe 10-15 minute drive down that way.
Yeah.
Near State Highway 1 kind of area.
Yeah, I've been there.
True.
But never actually been into it, so.
Where's good to hike near Tamaki Makaurau, where you live?
Well, I live in Titirangi, so it's got lots of walks in the Waitakere Ranges around there. And I've got a kind of thing that I plod regularly, which is called Exhibition Drive, which is the old, used to be where the water came down, and it was also the road, but it's now just like a narrow... Boring. This is a boring topic.
We love to learn about the value.
Yeah, I'm in that comfortable stage of suburban life where I find this stuff really, you know, delightful, and I love my neighbourhood.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. You know, speak about what you know.
Yeah,
yeah. Hell yeah, it's authentic. Do you have any thoughts about Lawrence of Arabia, the original guy from the British Army?
I've only seen the film once. I think I was just intrigued by, like, it's quite a weird kind of, I was intrigued by the kind of imperialistic kind of farce that was going on, and it's just, I don't know, yeah, I don't have any huge thoughts about the original Lawrence of Arabia, but it's an interesting piece of filmmaking.
I haven't seen the film. Was it Alec Guinness, the guy who played Obi-Wan Kenobi? Sean Connery?
Peter O'Toole.
Oh, Peter O'Toole.
Played Lawrence of Arabia, yeah.
Oh, so.
Yeah, but it's weird. But I think it played into, like, I went to boys' schools in Christchurch, and it kind of just played into the sort of, like, whole...
colonial narrative. And
yeah, yeah, just, like, somehow it tickled me with that, and it's like, oh, this is a farce. And I was just interested in it, being, like, a blonde... person of English descent.
I've heard very interesting things about Christchurch people, because they often will ask people, what school did you go to? Do you find that that's been a thing throughout your life? People ask you what school you went to from Christchurch?
Yeah, big time. I mean, it's I still like kind of shudder when it gets asked, just because it kind of, it's just a callback to my time growing up there. I mean, I still love the place, but yeah, there's aspects of it, you know, specifically your school network, which I find absurd, and I just, you know, that's kind of why I left. I didn't want to be
grouped in or pigeonholed.
I don't want to be dictated by where I went to school and, you know, what sports team I was in when I was 16 years old.
Yeah, stupid.
I wanted to not have to answer to any of that as an adult. It's odd.
And it's funny how that only gets more elevated depending on what university you went to. But you were recently in Europe. You went to play a show in Spain. What are the vibes there at the moment? Is it a little bit hickers? Pretty chill?
I mean...
a bit stressful?
Vibes were pretty good in Spain. Spain's a very... I mean,
it's a relaxed
country.
There's
a lot of activism, a lot of... like, the night we're about to leave, there's a really big... Palestine protest that shut down part of the city, and cars were being burnt and stuff. So there's a lot of, you know, it's quite a lot of righteous stuff going on there. But also, yeah, I mean, I felt like when we were flying there, I was looking across, you know, in the middle of the night, and you like fly across the whole world, and I was like looking across at different war zones. And you go, oh, that's Ukraine.
It's surreal, eh?
Yeah, so it's like, oh, there's a war there, and you know, we haven't flied this way because there's a war. You know, we can't fly over Iran, and we can't, you know, there's all these places you can't fly over because the world's burning. So
it's a fun time to be alive.
I was aware of it, and everyone's definitely talking about it, and people, you know, like-minded people are fighting the same fights that we are here. But it was really nice to get out of the country. I mean, it was, you know, a real luxury, cool thing to be able to get to do.
Yeah.
And I was very grateful for seeing some different coloured buildings and eating some different tasting food and stuff.
Yeah,
like
and indulge in some tapas.
Yeah.
You've said recently that you feel more present and grateful at gigs now than when you started, which I think was in 2006-ish. Is that because you've done so many and you just feel way more confident? Or because, like, you're growing into yourself a lot more?
I think it's the latter. And also, I think it's just also having gone through ups and downs in my career, and, like, I was trying to explain this the other day, but it's like, you know, the idea that you get pissed off or something that only 150 people showed up at a 200 capacity venue because you're expecting things to get bigger and better all the time when you're, I don't know, when I was in my 20s and had this kind of like career trajectory that was going upwards. So to be in my 40s now and to still be able to do it and, you know, maybe have 150 people in the room that's supposed to have 250 people in it or whatever, I'm now at the point where I'm grateful for the 150 rather than being pissed off at the 100 that didn't turn up.
Yeah.
Or that, yeah. Because to have survived this long in this career, I feel lucky and, you know, glad. So I'm just, yeah, I'm trying to be mindful and grateful and all those things. And, you know, in the context of the world and everything like that, it just feels like a glorious luxury to be able to just play my silly songs to people, you know, and have people come on and sing along or laugh at the jokes or whatever. So to me, it's just a change of perspective. It's a little less ego focused, I think. You know, I've still got an ego, but it's just different.
It's just chilling out a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, but it's just about gratitude. Yeah.
You've been working on a new project since 2022, but it's taking time, as you've said, that life and art feels a bit different now. How so?
The folder I've got that I'm working on is called Lawrence 2022. And I was, you know, meaningfully thinking I was going to record a record that year. And it just, I hadn't ever tried to make a record with two kids in my life. And my son is now 7. That just really derailed my brain in a big way. And yeah, I don't know, my dad died, and all these, I don't know, just you know, COVID, heaps of stuff. It's just like, oh wow, okay, everything's different. So it just made me think more about what I'm writing songs about and how I write songs, and, you know, whether I want to, or is there a point to this, or, you know, stuff like that. Just, you know, the full on existential questions about it. And I've come back around to the point that yes, I do want to do it, and it is meaningful and it makes me feel good, and it's a worthwhile expression of my thoughts and a worthwhile expenditure of my time. So yeah, I'm into it, but yeah, it's just taken quite a bit of time.
Been a bit hectic, you know. There's that Vladimir Lenin quote, there are years where nothing happens and there are decades where years happen. years where decades happen. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it sounds like you've had the latter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Part of the kind of reason, the raison d'etre of these new batch of shows that you've embarked on around the country is to sort of glean what people pick up on these new songs to inform maybe a little bit of the direction you should take. Do you normally do this for new material?
Not specifically. I think it's because it's just taken me such a long time, and with the recordings I've been doing such many iterations of recordings and obsessing about them in a different way. I wouldn't normally have the luxury of going out and road testing songs, but just felt like a good thing to do. It's definitely really useful to just feel the songs coming out of your mouth and through your fingers, and having the response of an audience. It's just like the same thing as, you know, when I play music, like play a demo or a song and a work in progress to someone else, you instantly start hearing it through their ears, in a way that helps you hear it differently. The thing that's not musical that I could describe it would be like when you show a film or a TV show that you really like to someone, and then they are clearly not enjoying it in the same way that you do.
Yeah.
and you,
you look over them
and you're like, oh, yeah, actually, this isn't as, maybe this isn't as funny as I thought it was. And I feel like that's the universal experience of when you play a demo or something, or you know, you, you get that sense of what it's like for them, and it helps you work out what it's like for yourself.
Do you worry that sometimes you're going to encounter that problem where it's like a camel is a horse designed by committee, that you're listening too much to external output?
No, I mean, it does put me off sometimes, but I'm not like asking for a,
hey guys, what do you think of my song?
Yeah, I don't want like an intensive advice. It's just
you don't want a consultant. You know? No, you're not getting Deloitte to investigate.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not bringing in the consultants. I'm just, it's just having other ears, and then it just informs the process. But I'm certainly not like tearing things down because someone said something.
The show at Pearl Diver tonight, it's a solo endeavor. There's a guitar, piano, and it's going to be a lot more intimate than, I guess, a band-based gig. How are you doing solo stuff compared to playing with a band?
I mean,
do you prefer it?
It's really different. I kind of do I mean, it's really fun having a gang. You know, like the thing of being in a band is it's, you know, there's a lot of silliness, and I probably wouldn't be having this heavy conversation with you in a way if I had my bandmates all around cracking jokes. So it does feel more like introspective, but it's also like funnier, if I do say so myself. Like, I mean, the audience tend to respond in a way that's like they laugh at lyrics, and there's thing, there's details in the songs that people don't pick up when you're playing with a band, and they do when it's solo. So it's just a different experience. And yeah, I like both. I like both.
Good to you know, dabble, mix and match.
Yeah, kind of like the when Chris Martin from Coldplay like would walk out into the middle of the stadium and play a, you know, play a song solo.
That'd be funny if he just detached his microphone. It was literally the people in his vicinity who could hear.
Yeah,
and the rest of the people just couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, these are all valid ideas.
Yeah. You'll be playing. I saw on Instagram that you kind of debuted a new tune, "Hanging with the Boys." I love the line, "I don't pass the Bechdel test when I'm hanging with the boys." Is this track parodying kind of blokey blokes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, like I think as a, you know, straight cis male, I have an you know, I have a relationship with those people, and or that little. I don't know, I haven't adequately thought about this really, but I guess there's that, you know, there's a part of me that has been sold that whole idea.
Well, you kind of grew up and you're socialized through it, you know.
Yeah. So it's just a I don't know. I haven't meditated on the subject of that song particularly heavily, and it's a silly song, you know. But yeah, it is. There's something serious in there.
I mean, I just love that line about not being able to pass the Bechdel test. For those who don't know, the Bechdel test is sort of a media test developed by a feminist theorist. I can't remember the name of where. What is it?
Alison Bechdel.
There has to be two women characters talking about something other than a man.
Yeah,
and that's the test.
Yeah, I think there might be a series of different things.
Yeah.
Different criteria to pass the Bechdel test.
I think it's more symbolic because it's just showing like how little women, how little agency women characters have in films, or it shows that how much the conversations rely on talking about other men.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited to see this this gig tonight. It should be really fun. Do you have any other last words or words of wisdom to leave our lovely audience with?
That's a lot of pressure for an idiot like me. No, I just would, you know, I just would like to see some of you at my show at Pearl Diver. I've got nothing more profound to say that to say than that. And I'll be grateful for whatever quantity of humans are in the room. I will be delighted to see you.
Well, thanks for coming on the program, man. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
Thank you. All right, folks, that was James Milne, a.k.a. Lawrence Rabier. We're talking to him about his show at Pearl Diver tonight, which is kicking off at 9 p.m. You can find tickets from Under the Radar. It is a solo bolo show. We're going to wrap up the show very soon, around 10:50. But first, here's Lawrence Rabier with One Unique Creature. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.